Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once-daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
The FBI announced today that it hasn't changed its opinion on Hillary Clinton since July.
Today we talk about Americans' opinions on the election, women, and our ability to move forward from here.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Thanks to everyone who has given us such an incredibly awesome birthday week. We have been loving all the new iTunes reviews. We appreciate everyone who has taken the time out to give us a shout out. We have, four new amazing subscribers. So thank you to everybody. It's been really awesome.
So Sarah, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling really good. Nationally, I just, like, I'm not even... Again, not worried. I have absorbed your confidence thanks to early voting statistics. So I'm feeling good that we'll be practicing saying Madam President this time next week. And just ready to get it over with. My race, I'm feeling good about. I had a good day where, like, people were so kind and really nice about, like, you've worked so hard. This guy was like, I think it's really courageous what you're doing, putting yourself out there. He was like, about having me crying. I did have one person who was like, we've already decided who we're voting for. And I was like, well, then I'll forget you. I also had another, the partisanship of the race seems to be intensifying, our local race, even though it is a nonpartisan race. I had a lady send me a message that was like, well, you're voting for Clinton, so I can't vote for you. Even though I love I think you have a beautiful family and I like your goals and what you have to say, but no.
I think that's just really too bad.
I
don't understand it, and I think it's too bad. And I think, though, that your hard work is going to carry you through here.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I'm feeling good. I'm sort of kind of growing. I have a growing sort of, I don't know, confidence is the right word, but I think it's likely that we might have two new people and not just the empty seat. I think there's a chance we might have more than one new person on city commission. So We shall see. But overall, my mood is optimistic. I'm passing rapidly into insanely anxious. Like, I'm just so ready to find out. I'm sure I'll be a hot mess by Tuesday, but overall positive.
I hope that Paducah counts faster than in the primary, because I was refreshing for like hours watching the Paducah primary for your race and thinking, get it together, Paducah. So I'm hoping we'll move a little more quickly this time.
Well, and I think that, you know, they were sending us sort of updates as the time went on. And I think the absentee ballots were like sort of pretty close to the final shakeout. So if like, and we got those really early. I think I had like the first count of those at like lunch. So if I'm at the bottom in the absentee ballots, like I should probably start being really concerned, but we'll see.
So the FBI had another thing to say today. James Comey sent...
I believe what they had to say was that they don't have anything to say.
Right. They sent... James Comey sent a letter to chairs of congressional committees saying, hey, we managed to get through all of those emails that we told you about a couple of days ago, and we have not changed our conclusions since July. And so I think it's really, really good that that is just behind us and we can move on. I know there are questions out there about how they could have gotten through all of the material so quickly. I think this is a moment when we need to recognize that law firms, at least, deal with this kind of volume of email all the time, and you can electronically figure out what you already have, right? Mm-hmm. The sort of deduping process of going through and saying, what have we already seen? So there's a lot of technology that makes that highly possible. Honestly, when we were being told 9 days ago that there's no way they could have any more information prior to the election, I was really scratching my head about that, because I thought if this came to the law firm where I work, we would find a way to have more information before the election. So I'm glad that they got their work done and got this out to Congress, and we can all kind of move on from this topic.
I think it is adorably optimistic that you think people are going to move on from this topic.
You know, I'm trying to practice this manifesting thing in a lot of
different
realms. I think
you're doing really good. So I think there's two things. I think there will be a population who will not move on. My father posted, well, Comey did it to us again. And then one of my relatives implied that, like, Hillary Clinton was using death threats against James Comey, and that's why he made this decision. Sigh. But so I think that narrative will persist. I do not think that history will look kindly on this entire scandal. I think 20, 40 years. I mean, do you remember about Travelgate was about? Because I don't. So I think it's going to be like that. Like, people will be like, oh, that's one of those things that everybody sort of made up. Like, it's not going to smile. It's not going to be treated kindly, I don't think.
Here are some things that I think we should try to learn from this. One, I think it might be a good moment to step back and ask what the FBI's role is in modern America. Because, you know, the FBI has become a really different thing even over the last 10 years in terms of its role combating terrorism. You know, the FBI was about, like, unsolved murders. And I mean, you know, it's really changed its focus from purely about domestic crime. Now it has a very meaningful role to play in thwarting terrorism. And because of things that have happened over the last couple of years, it's had a really prominent role in sort of governmental ethics and oversight. And I think that is not the FBI's skill set, or maybe where we want that accountability to lie, or even that investigative authority. So it seems to me that all of the craziness surrounding this issue should hopefully prompt a review of what the FBI is there to do and what other governmental agencies are there to do, and where should that sort of not even really ethics, but this sense of how are our administrative agencies running and are people doing what they're supposed to do within those agencies? Like, where should that authority be vested at the investigative level? So I don't know. I guess I just am going to continue to be optimistic and hope that we can learn something from this and have it not have been just a national nightmare.
So I think that your emphasis on staying positive as we move into the reconciliation portion of the program, I think, is really great. And we had a lot of listeners sort of contact us over the last few days about, you know, what happens next.
And it's been interesting to see that there are lots of layers to that hurt that people are feeling. And, you know, we heard from our listener, Carrie, who said that she's just sad that whoever wins, the other side will feel the country is lost. And she noted mm-hmm. that it's not that there's an equivalency about that, but it's still sad.
Yeah.
We received, I wish that we could read every word of it, but I feel like it might be too personal to do that. But we received a wonderful message that said, I can't tell you how viscerally angry I am to receive a barrage of Facebook posts and tweets from my well-meaning white progressive friends about the lower black voter turnout, with the implication that I need to wrangle up black early voter turnout at the next black people meeting to get it to the level that is of their approval. Mm. And this listener went on to talk about how the black vote has been taken for granted. The way that the black vote is discussed on television is just very hurtful.
And yeah, I directed her towards a Diane Rehm show, a Diane Rehm episode recently that I was literally yelling at the radio. There was a New York Times reporter who was like, I was like embarrassed for the New York Times. I expect way more of them. She was like, well, literally, she was like, well, these rappers I was talking to in Baltimore just aren't going to vote because they don't feel enthusiastic about. And I was like, what are, it was so anecdotal, so ridiculous. And a reporter friend who I sort of know through an acquaintance, Perry Bacon, was doing like a truly admirable job of being like, listen, that's not true. The data does not suggest that of all the sort of groups that, you know, black people are the most enthusiastic. And I don't really understand the sort of nerve to, as a white person, to like speak of what I think black voters should do. And what during the primary, I remember hearing this woman, white woman, tell a black man in our public library about how, I don't see how a black person could vote for Hillary Clinton, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, not your place. Like, stop talking. Like, I don't get that at all. I don't have that. Makes me really uncomfortable.
I understand that statistically black Americans tend to vote more as a bloc than other groups. It still bothers me the way that it's discussed. I always find myself listening to this discussion of black voters thinking that can't feel good to listen mm-hmm. to. And Dante responded to this message and pointed out that Cuban Americans in Florida particularly are taken for granted as a Republican leaning group. And the discussion is similarly kind of superficial about the concerns of those groups. And I think I sometimes react on a much different level to just hearing about suburban white college educated women, you know, as though we're this homogenous group of people. And I think we've got to really examine sort of the language that we use about different demographics and stop trying to tie every decision people make to their demographics. I don't know. This is definitely one of those issues. It takes me back to what you said the other day. And, you know, all the days have blurred together because we've been talking so much lately. But what you said the other day about how really there is a lot under the surface here that has nothing to do with politics, and politics yep. is being used as a foil for it. And mm-hmm. and that is what I was reminded of reading some of these messages.
Absolutely. I totally, totally think that there's all this other, it's like, I also shared this story. I when I worked at Hillary, there was a guy who was like totally sexually harassment, like just was being rude and stereotypical and talking about the way anchors looked on the TV and all this stuff. And his defense was basically like, well, I can't be sexist. I work at Hillary Clinton. No, like being a liberal or working at Hillary Clinton doesn't give you a pass on all the complicated pieces of identity and prejudice and subconscious bias that make us all up. Like the second you like register as a Democrat, just not all go poof, it's gone. Like it doesn't work like that. Come on, y'all.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your wild grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special, and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit, or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You guys, I love my Aura frames. I have one in my office. I have one in my kitchen. I have given one as a housewarming gift. I have given one as Mother's Day, Father's Day. They are the most amazing gifts because this app is a game changer, in my personal opinion, in digital frames. It makes it so, so easy to get the pictures on there and even videos. It plays like you're in Harry Potter, you guys. It is the best. I love mine so much. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
We also got a message from Emily that said, in the age of our constant media, social and otherwise, where anyone can push any opinion they want to, and the respectable news sources are no more credible than Joe Schmo's blog, is it even possible to move forward and get anything done? This is an odd example, but it's all I've got. I feel like most people know how to read and process tabloids / celebrity news. If it's in National Enquirer, it's at best 50-50 true, but highly entertaining. If it's in Us Weekly, it's probably likely but not confirmed, and they could have over-dramatized the story. But once it gets to People, it's confirmed and a reasonable take on the story. You guys are like the People magazine of politics for me. But I don't see other people seeking out People magazines. They seem to be seeking out only those stories and perspectives that agree with them. Reconciliation seems daunting. First of all, I like being compared to People magazine. Thank you, Emily.
Listen, I got to come to National Enquirer's defense, though. Remember when they got all that John Edwards stuff? They had that story first, man.
They did. Well, if you don't worry about confirmation, you can be ahead of the curve.
True.
I think
that... Oh, and they were in the news. Did you hear they were in the news recently? Sorry, I'm getting off topic. I'm really
tired. National Enquirer, or are they the Edwards?
National Enquirer. They've been sitting on a story of Trump cheating on Melania with a national, with a Playboy bunny. They like bought the story and then sat on it.
I did see that. It was in the Wall Street Journal that National Enquirer bought the story and then didn't run it.
But I totally understand. Have I made my Walter Cronkite story yet on the podcast, or have I just told everybody else, but not y'all yet?
I honestly don't know.
I don't either. It's all running together. I hope I haven't. So I have this theory that this is a generational thing and that older generations, baby boomers, they want the Walter Cronkite back. Whereas our generation is like much more comfortable just taking in a lot of sources. Like if I'm totally fascinated with the celebrity story, like I am with Kim Kardashian, because I keep bringing that up, I'm reading everything. I'll see what TMZ has to say about it. I'll see what Just Jared has to say about it. I'll see what People, Us Weekly, like I'm going to look at them all and then sort of decide what I think the overall arc or narrative is and then decide what I think about that. Whereas, like, the baby boomers, man, they want one story. And I literally, Beth can confirm this, I texted Beth and Dante, like I had this aha moment where I was like, oh my God, they still want Walter Cronkite. Then I'm arguing with my stepdad about Trump and going to his hotel in the middle of the presidential race, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm just tired of the editorializing. And then I swear to God, he says, I mean, we had Walter Cronkite. I about flew out of the room. Like, I came out of my chair. I was like, I knew it. I knew y'all were all sitting around wishing for Walter Cronkite. Like, this one source we can all trust. It's the facts, even though, spoiler alert, totally not what was going on with Walter Cronkite in the Vietnam War, because that's just, you know, a total example of transparency and trust. But it was just so, it just confirmed for me this idea that, like, you cannot, and I think so often people treat, particularly, like, Fox News, like it's Walter Cronkite. I'm not saying never read Fox News or watch Fox News. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, take it with a grain of salt, yo.
Well, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. And then you can't get mad at the sources for being what they
yes,
are.
Yes.
I think that's the great thing. I love this example from Emily, because I don't have any fight with National Enquirer. I expect it to be wrong sometimes. I expect it to be right sometimes. I expect it to be entertaining. I'm not mad
actually,
at it.
Actually, I lied. I think their role in the Bill Cosby thing was sort of atrocious, but otherwise I take your point.
Stay with me here.
So, I'm sorry.
I mean, I think that one of the things that we have to do in order to move forward in this era where, as Emily said, there's all kinds of stuff out there, is just recognize that there's all kinds of stuff out there and we don't have to get angry about what it is. And when we do get angry, we can still forgive. This is the thing about, I've been thinking so much about restoring institutional trust, and I know that I keep harping on that and bringing it up too. But I think part of what we have to recognize, and I know that this is not a baby boomer trait for sure, our institutions can be good and still get things wrong.
Mm.
And we all kind of together own those institutions, right? I wrote this post for our blog today and said, you know, democracy is a fire that we're all responsible for attending, and there are going to be problems with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know at what point we all decided that things are just happening for us instead of happening because we are creating them. But I think that's the turn that we have to make coming out of this. Will our election results be credible? Well, yes, if we decide that they will be. You know, we have to just say that they are. We have to trust each other and our systems, in part because trusting is an end into itself, right? To preserve what we have here, we have to keep having faith in it. So this is what I wanted to kind of circle back around to, this wonderful email that we got from a listener. I won't mention her name because of her profession, but she sent us this wonderful quote about how reconciliation requires stretching the moral imagination, which is my new favorite phrase. And I think that that's a lot of what we have to do. So if you're a person who thinks that Hillary Clinton is the devil, as Sarah said the other day, can you stretch your moral imagination and say, and she is now our president and the American people chose that, and I support my president because as an American, supporting my president is part of my responsibility. Same thing if it's Donald Trump. You know, I don't like anything that Donald Trump has said for the past 18 months, not one thing. But if Donald Trump is my president, I'm going to support my president because that's part of my job as an American. That doesn't mean I can't disagree. That doesn't mean that I can't hold that person accountable or ask questions. But this idea that we all think the world's going to end on Tuesday unless what we think is best comes to fruition, I think we need to put that behind us.
Well, and listen, I think that, not sure if I've actually talked about this or just repeated myself to other people so often. I think I've said it on the podcast, but there's this great author named Byron Katie, and she has this thing called, I think, The Method. And you say, is it true? And then you ask it again, is it really true? And then one of the questions is, who would I be without this thought process? Like, who would I be without this thought? And so, you know, with so much of this, I think about this with Hillary, like, with some people, like who would you be if she wasn't a criminal, right? If you had abandoned this sort of thought process and thought, like, how would that feel? Who would you be? What would your life look like if maybe even the people who like her were like half right. And the same with Donald Trump. Like, and it's really not that hard. Even you don't even have to think about him as president. Like that whole thing, I was realizing this today, like, oh, I'm loath to defend this man, but the whole thing with Obama defending the protester and then Trump lying and saying he was yelling at the guy. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
If you watch, like, I can defend Donald Trump. Like, I can see where he's coming from. I bet you money he only watched the first part of that where Obama was getting frustrated and was yelling at the people, yelling at the protesters to calm down. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Yeah, like, there's a substantial part of the video where he's literally going, hold up, like, sort of getting, like, mad, because I made a joke, like, he was probably like, or y'all forgot, like, I'm still Commander-in-Chief when I told you to hold up and stop yelling. I mean it. I mean, he had to do it for a few minutes, and I thought, I'm sure that's just what Trump saw, like, didn't watch through to the end, and that's, you know, I was, like, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and it's, like, much less frustrating in a way, right? If I just say he doesn't have all the information, or if I think about, you know, 5 or 10 ways that the explanation is that he's a monster who lies all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is a little bit easier and the world seems a little less stark and, you know, everything seems a little less dire when you just give a little bit breathing room and think, wait, is that actually true? Is it really true? Who would I be if it wasn't true? What would this situation be like if that wasn't exactly like I thought it was?
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, I cannot believe how young you look. And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off. There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
I love that you brought Byron Katie into this, partially because I love her, and also because I think that's such a good example of how we've wrapped way too much of ourselves up into sort of whether we're D's or R's. And I mean, a helpful, although painful thing in this cycle for people like me who don't really have a candidate this time, like I can say, who would I be without that Republican label? Mm-hmm. And it's fine. The world doesn't end, you know? Yeah. And I think that if we can do more of that, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this anyway. We really are.
Yeah.
But we have some work to do. And I think that a lot of that work would be emotionally healthy work anyway. And a lot of that work really doesn't have anything to do with politics.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, Jill Filipovic, am I saying her name right?
Mm-hmm, I think
so. Has an essay in the New York Times entitled The Men Feminism Left Behind. And it's, not surprisingly, we received several copies of it today.
It's also 10 Kinds of Killer. It's so good.
So I want to read kind of a long excerpt and then ask for your reaction, Sarah. Young women are soaring, in large part because we are coming of age in a kind of feminist sweet spot, still exhibiting many traditional feminine behaviors, being polite, cultivating meaningful connections, listening and communicating effectively, and finding that those same qualities work to our benefit in the classroom and workplace, opening up more opportunities for us to excel. And while we do find ourselves walking the tightrope between being perceived as a nice bimbo or a competent bitch, there are more ways to be a woman than ever before. It's no longer unusual to meet a female lawyer or engineer. No one bats an eye if we cut our hair short, wear pants, pay with a credit card in our own name, win on the soccer field, or buy our own home. Men haven't gained nearly as much flexibility. The world has changed around them, but many have stayed stuck in the past. While women have steadily made their way into traditionally male domains, men have not crossed the other way. Men do more at home than they used to, but women still do much more. On an average day, 67% of men do some housework, compared with 85% of women. Male identity remains tied up in dominance and earning potential, and when those things flag, it seems men either give up or get angry. This, perhaps more than anything else, explains the rise of Donald J. Trump. He promised struggling white men that they could have their identities back.
Ooh, fire. It's so good. And it's so, I mean, I really liked her point about this. I just thought it was such an interesting, it amazes me how, you know, how just the smallest little tweak can make you think completely different about things. And I just sort of hadn't taken into account, like, oh, these qualities that, you know, that you learn when navigating the world as a female are also really beneficial qualities to have. It reminds me actually of an article I read about how poor people are more empathetic because they're in service roles, and where it's beneficial, you learn the skills to read other people's emotions and reactions. And I thought that was like such an interesting thing I hadn't really considered. And I wrote an article, it's in HuffPo, it's on my blog, about why I raise my sons like daughters, because this to me is, we really failed to open the world of femininity up to men in the way we have opened much of the masculine world up to women. Like exactly like she says, we don't bat an eye if women play sports, but let me tell you, people lose their shit if I paint my little boy's nails. And, you know, the world of emotions and consensus and communications and vulnerability and all this stuff, we had not done a great job of opening up that up to men. And then particularly for older generations, I think it's just, it makes me so sad.
Yeah. I think that we are quick to criticize men, and particularly the kinds of men who've been featured as sort of the Trump supporter in this cycle, but it is an overwhelming amount of pressure that men face. And I think you made such a good point about how reporters love to go find like someone out in the country who is really struggling with poverty and talk about that person as the Trump supporter. But as this article points out as well, that is not the Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. You know, most Trump supporters are doing better than the average household economically. And I think that that really speaks to the pressure that a lot of men feel. And they have that pressure not only of sort of dominance and earning potential, as Jill Filipovic puts it, but also the pressure of having those things in a world that doesn't quite line up with the way they used to attain them. Mm-hmm. So I again think this is just a whole lot of work to do post-election that really isn't political at all.
No. Well, and my favorite thing, one of my favorite feminist quotes is Bell Hooks, and she talks about, and it was, there was a really good Hidden Brain where I think I shared this that Carol Moseley Braun talked about. She always thought race was one of the sort of her defining characteristic and the hardest thing to deal with in society until she became a female in power. And then she realized like gender really motivates so much. And Bell Hooks, one of my favorite quotes from her, she says, it's easy to think differently about the people that live across town. It's much harder to think differently about the person across the table from you every night at dinner. And I think that gender is just, it's so, talk about a big ball of complexity that there's so much to piece apart. You know, it's just, it's so hard.
It is hard. And I think that it's going to be hard. I mean, I think as much progress as there is to be made by having the first woman in the Oval Office, I think it's going to be a really, really difficult 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I never read Susan Faludi's Backlash, but I'm thinking I'm going to go pull it out and take it a gander.
It's not that you don't, it's not worth it, you know,
yeah.
But it's, there's going to be a whole lot to contend with. And I do think that it's going to take the form of a lot of our personal and sort of professional endeavors, because we're all processing all this information and a lot of it at an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be really hard, and that we're going to have to find a way to unpack it so that we don't wrap it all up in things that it's not really about.
Well, and sneak peek, we're working on a project, a listener community project, for after the election to deal with many of these issues. So y'all stay tuned for that as we move past election day.
And stay tuned for our last of our 7 straight days of podcasting episode on election day tomorrow. You can engage with us on Twitter at @PantsuitPolitik without an S, or Facebook at @PantsuitPolitik. Send us an email. Check out PantsuitPoliticsShow.com. You'll find there the blog post that I referenced that is entitled "There Will Be a Wednesday." And until we're back with you tomorrow, keep it nuanced, y'all.